Charlotte Soccer Show. Welcome back. We're live at Hot Fly Brewing Company. Danny Brams is here with me. It's John Hayes. We're pumped because it's Copa America semifinal day, and the vibes in South End right now are absolutely phenomenal. Danny, it's great to see you.
Great to see you, brother.
And it seems like you're in the mood. With is that a Columbia kit that you're rocking?
I'm an honorary parcero for the day. I'm wearing my Columbia kit that I got from our good friends at Rare and Retro at a recent Hot Fly watch party. They were here, and I just was perusing the racks, and I saw this, and I thought, hey, shout out to Kerwin Vargas. I'm going to get myself a nice Columbia kit. I needed a red shirt, and this is a nice red kind of. I think this is the 2022 alternate kit for Columbia, and yeah, the scene though here is amazing, John, in Hot Fly. We're watching England-Netherlands, just got started. Netherlands up 1-0 with an early goal. The bar is packed with Uruguayan supporters, and there's probably going to be a loud chant sometime in the course of this episode because, like, every 10, 15 minutes, the place just explodes with chants. So pardon us there if you hear a lot of background noise, but I'm glad to be here with you, Johnny. I'm drinking the Captain.
Cheers to you. I'm drinking the Carolina Crush.
Two all-time classics on the Hot Fly beer board. And we got a lot to talk about. Like, it's a Copa day, it's a Euros day, the summer of soccer continues. But Charlotte FC is out to head to Cincinnati. Second straight game against the number one team in the league because Cincy jumped Miami while we were on a bye week. And it's, you know, we should have taken 3 points from Cincy back here at Bank of America. They got the late equalizer, one of my least favorite Enzo Capetti memories, of which there are many, was him completely whiffing a chance and then, you know, not...
Who?
Exactly. Exactly. Cincy equalizing on the counterattack. But it's a great scene. I'm so happy to be here, and we got a lot to talk about, like I said.
Yeah, we certainly do. And we need to talk about Karol Swiderski.
Who?
We need to talk about Scotty Arfield.
La la da 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 da. Bye, 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 Scotty Arfield.
We're going to talk about those two players. The summer transfer window is basically here at this point. There's an incoming or a returnee, if you will, and it's Karol Swiderski. And there's an outgoing that is Scotty Arfield. We'll find out where Scotty Arfield signs here probably in the next couple days, next week or so.
Yep.
We'll know fairly quickly. You were at practice this morning on Wednesday the 10th here.
Yep.
Before the club heads out to Cincinnati this weekend. You saw Karol Swiderski in person.
Did.
And we know that Scotty Arfield's not going to be here because he wasn't at training.
He was not there, and team representative, you know, from some of the communication staff laid it out for us. He doesn't even know where Scotty's going, but he said Scotty's not here because Scotty's gone. He's finalizing a deal to move back abroad. The UK was mentioned, so I don't know if we're talking Scottish League, we're talking English Championship, probably not the Premier League, but
you know, I know Charlotte's
gone.
I know Charlotte FC fans are sad, but the real sadness is coming from bar managers all across the city.
Yeah, exactly.
Those bar tabs that Scotty ran up around town on Sunday sessions, on Monday off days, were pretty legendary.
Well, if you remember, we were here talking to Captain Westwood when he said, like, the whole impetus behind the Captain Special Brew came because Scotty Arfield brought Westy to Hot Fly.
Yes.
And made it happen.
Yes, he absolutely did. And Arfield is somebody that was a very quick fan favorite.
Yep.
So I just wanted to give him some love off the top here.
Don't worry. Be happy.
We'll always have
love
that
you,
moment.
Scotty.
Yeah,
yeah,
we'll
exactly.
Always have that moment when Scotty was playing the guitar at Coachella,
yeah, exactly. And Claudio Bonus, you know, who reported, who was the first person to sort of put it out there.
Beat Tom Boger.
Last night. Yeah, beat Tom Boger. Good for you, Claudio. And he called him, I think I got this right, he called him El Cantero, the singer. You know, that was kind of the nickname that he put on that tweet. So Scotty was known for his singing. He was known for a couple nice goals. He had the nice pylon goal against Necaxa in the 4-2 last year League's Cup. But ultimately... Will more be known for that early red card that probably caused us to drop points a few weeks ago, unfortunately, too. So
I won't remember that in a couple weeks now. Scotty, he was such a good person. He was such a good player. He was somebody that came in here at the end of his career. That red card for me,
All right.
It doesn't define who he is.
He helped set the standard. He helped set the standard of what needs to be, along with other guys. I mean, obviously, but, like, he's part of the whole Westwood and Byrne coming in and saying, like, this is what a football club needs to be internally, for sure.
Absolutely. No doubt about that. And before we get into this conversation about Karol Swiderski, we should mention something else, that we're also here for the Carolina Ascent, the new USL Super League team launching in just about a month. The first game's on August 17th at Memorial Stadium. We're going to see the kits for the first time tonight. It is kit unveiling night tonight at Hot Fly.
It's the summer of soccer, and Hot Fly is your bar, is the South End soccer bar. They've worked very hard to establish themselves as the South End soccer bar, and Johnny, you have been a big part of that effort. But the fact that we're going from a Euros match into a USL Super League Carolina Ascent kit release into a Copa match, and we're here talking about Charlotte FC. It's just, there's soccer everywhere. It's a beautiful thing. Harry Kane.
He's been struggling from open play. He does have a couple goals, but now he has a third goal in the Euros. Harry Kane. We mentioned that it was 1-0 Netherlands. Now it's 1-1.
I think that ties him for the Euros boot with three. It's been kind of, no one's really jumped out and run away with that.
I thought own goal.
Oh, own goal?
Own goal has the boot for sure. Yeah,
Charlotte FC legend own goal.
So Karol Swiderski, you got to see him with your own two eyes this morning. Looked happy. If you go to our Twitter feed at For the Crown Baby, you'll see a nice video of Karol Swiderski with a nice cameo by our friend Mike Solarte over at Spectrum.
Oh yeah, Solarte was in that. Trent Slagle was in that. There was all kinds of cameos, and Karol was walking with Billy Tuiloma, and. He had it was a big question. Is he smiling? Everyone wanted to know. Was he smiling? Was that a smile? Because Karol was famous for always kind of having like resting, not that happy face. You know, like he never really cracked a huge smile. He just has kind of an awkward smile, if you will. And he looked like he was pretty happy today, though, to be out there and back in the Carolina heat. And I think Johnny, you put the tweet out on the For the Crown Baby Twitter feed the other day that was like, give us three words to describe Karol coming back, your reaction. And there was a great one that said, I think it was from Brandon Davis, that said, grass not greener. You know, that, like, to sum it up. I think you wonder if Karol really learned that, like, he so badly wanted to be back in Europe, but maybe he realized that the grass was not greener over there. I'm not sure.
It was a great response from Brandon. There was a lot of good responses. I'm going to pull up our Twitter feed now so I can read some of this. Yeah. I like Hector. Hector said, the glory chaser.
The glory chaser.
Something that Karol did too.
That's abrupt, yeah.
He was chasing glory. He wanted to play for his country. He wanted to play in the Euros. He got a chance to do that.
He
didn't get out of the group. Now he's back at Charlotte FC. We got 40 replies. I like Jonathan Wilson, a good friend of ours.
Pot
Jonathan.
Of bread?
No, this is...
Oh, I'm thinking of John Potter. Yeah, yes. My bad. Sorry. The other Jonathan, yeah.
Jonathan says, confusedly, delightedly optimistic.
Hey.
Ash
like
Hamrick,
that.
Who, by the way, shout out to Ash, who's hanging out here today.
Ash
cheers
is sitting
to you,
right
Ash.
Next to us with Level Up Luke.
He said, better fucking work.
Nailed it.
Said, better work. Danny Brackets, good friend of the show. He says, we are back. JPP says, MLS, watch out. Bridget McCall, the Queen's Pitch podcast, he says, don't want to know.
Yeah, she's been anti-Karol. She doesn't like the fact that Karol rejected us, you know, and she still feels a little spurned.
There's people
him.
Like that. But I would say that...
But I think people will embrace him when he's back.
Right. It's easy to be a little critical, I think, about a player who left the club and now is coming back and seemingly didn't want to be here. But at the end of the day, when Karol Swiderski goes and takes the pitch and plays well, that will all be forgiven very quickly. I think that it's a breath of fresh air for Charlotte FC to get Karol back. And the reason why Scotty Arfield is going to go find somewhere else to play, because now that Karol is back, there is literally nowhere for Scotty Arfield to play.
Exactly. That false nine role is gone.
So how does the Patrick Ajimong Karol Swiderski relationship work? Because that's something that I'm really interested in. Because we knew the Enzo Capetti Karol Swiderski relationship on the field anyway was not good. Off the field, never heard about those two guys hanging out. But
the PK situation between those two was never, never good in 2023, for sure.
I don't have any concrete information that those two guys didn't get along. But I think a lot of the reason why Karol Swiderski is happy coming back here to Charlotte right now on July 10th is Enzo Capetti's not here.
Yeah, and we know Karol wants to play striker. We know that Ajimong is establishing himself as the striker here. We know that we still really need someone in that number 10 role. Like, as valiant of an effort as Brant Bronico has had, Carroll's way more skilled if we can convince him to play that third midfielder.
Wait, Brant's
the attack.
Brant's been playing number 10?
Ish. You know, I mean, he's been the third guy in the midfield, and it depends on the matchup exactly how they line up. But
right.
Brant has found himself at the end of a lot of balls in and around the box for sure. John, you mentioned being critical, and I just have to, before we go on, I do have to address a quick elephant in the room, which is that I was screaming from the rooftops, I was screaming from the rafters for weeks and weeks and weeks about, I said it from our Twitter feed, I put it out there, and I said, Carroll's never coming back. And I've been proven wrong on that. We got a clearance off the line by the Dutch that has sent this room into a frenzy. But I just want to say, I just have to offer a mea culpa that say I was wrong. And sometimes you're wrong. And I didn't have the best information. I thought I had the best information. And the fact of the matter is, I'm just moving forward on it. I don't really care that I vehemently said he'll never come back, because I can admit when I'm wrong. I'm a man. A real man admits when they're wrong. And I'm just moving forward from here. And the fact of the matter is, if Carroll comes and plays well and contributes to this club, I'm going to start calling him King Carroll again. I'm going to be a fan, and I hope the TIFOs will understand that that's where I'm at with it, and I've learned a few things from that whole process, and we're moving forward.
Well, when you do an interview with the sporting director of a club, and you ask him specifically about a player, and he almost guarantees you, he says he'd be shocked if this... You're not the only one shocked that Carroll's back.
I was not alone.
Literally, the general manager of the team is shocked that Carroll is back.
I loudly said that he's never coming back, and I was proven wrong, and I think I need to just acknowledge that to the TIFOs as the Uruguay chants get going, drowning out my apology, which I absolutely love, and it's great. Chills.
It's that kind of day in Charlotte. It's one of those days where if you think that was impressive, if you think that's rowdy, get you another couple beers and wait till you see you in a couple hours.
I need another beer, to be honest. Yeah.
Wild tonight in Charlotte. Level
Who's
up Luke
buying?
Is here. Let's give Level Up a cameo. He's sitting right
Who's
here.
Who's buying?
Might
yeah.
as well. What's up, Luke?
What's up, guys? Would you like some breaking news that we dropped on Twitter earlier today?
Depends.
Okay. So Queen City Soccer Show has confirmed first-hand sources close to Luciano Rodriguez that he is interested in a move to Charlotte FC.
Luciano Rodriguez is Uruguayan. He's not on the Uruguayan national team.
Why is he not at Hot Fly right now?
National team, and he scored a goal in the youth U19 World Cup. That was incredible.
Is he going to the no, they probably aren't going to the Olympics. Yeah, my bad. Sorry.
But it's breaking news. It's developing in the last 24 hours. There was a trade deal with City Football Group that fell apart yesterday morning. And since then, Charlotte was right back in the conversation. It could potentially be a record signing. Ash was asking me what I think our odds of getting him are. I would say maybe 50-50. River Plate's also in the conversation. Some European clubs are also in the conversation. But Charlotte has been in this early and often, and we never let the conversation go away, even though the deal with City Football Group was on the table.
Okay, I need you to finish that report like an ESPN reporter does, where it's like, Level Up Luke.
Yeah.
This is Level Up Luke reporting from Hot Fly Brewing Company in South End, Charlotte. Back to you, John.
Lovely.
That's fantastic, Luke. Cheers to you. Cheers to him for that. I mean, seriously, I don't want to talk about that right now, but what I'll say is it's another sign that the transfer window is here, that the transfer sagas that we've seen a few episodes of will continue.
We'll certainly get to that, and we'd love to have Luciano Rodriguez, obviously. It's reminiscent of the Liel Abada storyline, which is we made inquiries on Abada. He wasn't available, and then later he became available, and we were able to jump and pounce right on it and bring Abada in. So that's the way Zoran works, is that he's got his fingers in a lot of pies, and he's always checking the phones.
You saw him today as well, didn't you, Zoran?
I did see Zoran looking pretty in pink. It was incredible. Real men wear pink. You know, they're not afraid. And I'm a little – Z-Man and I need to get our – you know, like – I still want Zoran to adopt me, But I also want Zorin to, like, clear up when I have bad information and not let me go out there with bad information. So me and Z have a little bit of a reconciliation, I think, that we need in our relationship, but I still love him.
He's Serbian. English is not his first language.
Yeah, so I get a little lost in translation.
You go back and listen to the Zoran Crneta interview on the Charlotte Soccer Show. I don't know. Maybe something got lost in translation. I don't know. But Karol Sadurski is back. Zoran Crneta is now shocked by that, despite him being under contract with Charlotte FC and there not being a mandatory buy clause in the loan deal.
When I talk about misinformation, that's what it was, is that Zoran allowed us to believe that the purchase was an auto trigger when actually it was a choice on the part of Hellas Verona. And actually, shout out, you know, like Soccer Sheet did report it as a choice. They were the ones that never really went all in on the auto purchase, and everybody else was like, it's auto, it's auto, it's auto, and I sure did, but whatever. We are moving forward.
Yes.
I'm not afraid to be wrong. I'm going to say things that are wrong a lot, but what I learned, John, if anyone cares and if the TIFOs care, I know the TIFOs care because the TIFOs are always with us.
Try me.
What I learned is that breaking news and reporting on, you know, like this, that, and the other, like particulars of what might happen is not my forte. My forte is offering entertaining commentary on things that we know have already happened, and so that's what I'm going to be focused on.
And we know that Karol Sadurski is back in Charlotte. We know that he's eligible to play next weekend in Austin,
and
you just happen to have a front row seat,
don't
you?
I got front row tickets to Q2 Field. I can't wait. I'm going to be working in Texas next week, and then I'm taking a few extra days after my work assignment to stay.
What's going on in Texas for work?
The other football, college football, SEC media days. Yeah, exactly. College football's coming back. I'm going to be field producing on site for the Fall Feinbaum show. Our coronation friend, Paul Feinbaum. Me and Paul, yeah, you know. Austin FC ain't played nobody, Paul. Austin FC sucks. Yeah, I mean, Austin is their best player is their goalkeeper, so we should be able to get some points there, I hope. But I'll tell you what, we could learn a little bit from Austin FC, because not that we need to be talking money on this show, but I got a very, very good price for two front row tickets at the Q2 Stadium that would not get you anywhere near the front row at Bank of America. That's all I'm going to say.
You could convince me. I mean, it's one of those things. I have to tell you, Danny, that you being in the house with Karol returning, potentially starting.
Right.
To me, it's like you can't script that.
Right.
And it's the second work trip that you've had this season. Things are really – the stars are aligning, right? Because you had a work trip in Nashville.
Yeah.
And Charlotte played in Nashville that Saturday.
Yeah, I did.
And now you've got a work trip in Austin.
Yeah.
And or in Texas.
Yeah, in Dallas, and then I'm driving down to Austin after, yeah.
And Charlotte FC plays in Texas that Saturday. I mean, when the schedule makers – when Joe LeBoux talked to MLS about the schedule, did he call you beforehand?
Joe and I have had some high-level talks, and I said, Joe, you don't want to sell $1 billion worth of tickets with Messi comes to the stadium. Just schedule for Miami during the Copa America, you know? And he was like, I don't know, Brams. And I was like, Joe, trust me.
While we are talking about the front office, we mentioned Joe LeBoux.
Love
you,
Joe.
Great friend of the show.
Adopt me, Joe.
Zoran Crneta, obviously, that interview that we did with him, it still holds up today. Go back and listen to him.
It's still worth going back and listening to.
For sure. Zoran's assistant general manager, Bobby Belair.
Bobby B.
He's somebody that's been doing really, really nice work behind the scenes. He's really, really scouting young players.
Yeah.
He's helping this club grow in a way that maybe doesn't make headlines, but he's somebody that we've gotten to know really well. And I think you can expect a Bobby Belair interview here on Charlotte Soccer Show very soon.
Is that a little teaser?
Maybe so.
Bobby B is a TIFOS, and he will definitely be a guest very soon. Hint, hint.
What does this Karol signing amount to? I think that's the biggest question, right? If you really want to start dreaming as a Charlotte FC fan, if you want to start thinking about the fact that Karol Sadurski and Patrick Ajimong could team up in the forward third, that Leal Abada could join them, that Ashley Westwood is playing in the middle of the midfield, Christian Kalina looking like one of the best keepers in MLS this season, Adilson Milanda in that back line keeping clean sheets. How far can this team go with Karol Sadurski now back in the squad?
I think it's really what it boils down to for me is you do have to ask this question. where the fuck would we be if we had had Carroll all season? You know what I'm saying? Because it's like our biggest problem is like getting shots on target and scoring goals. And it's like Carroll really just – we wasted half the year sending Carroll on a fool's errand over to Verona. Again, I don't want to dwell on the past, but I'm glad that he's back to add some scoring punch. I almost feel like he's probably still in the shop window a little bit. I still think there's a chance he could be sold to Europe if he has like a good run here. But he's got to have a good run, and he can still help Charlotte FC by having that good run. I love him as that attacking midfielder. I know that's not his preferred position, but I don't want to take Ajimong out of the lineup. I think those two would work really well together. I think they would work better than Copetti and Carroll did, like you mentioned, Johnny. I think Patrick has a much more cooperative spirit in his heart than Enzo Copetti does, and so he's more willing to defer to Carroll a little bit but still get his. I think they could work really well together. I want to see him on the pitch together. I don't want to see Patrick benched and Carroll at the nine and a mishmash of Bronico, Pekovic, Diagra at the 10. That's not what I want to see.
Dean Smith has to figure out a way to have Patrick and Carroll on the field at the same time. Leal Alabado on the field at the same time. I think what's really interesting is talking to Patrick Ajimong's college coach, another episode that we've done, he talked about Pat being a very nice passer, someone that's not afraid to get out wide. I'm not saying that Ajimong plays the wing, but if Swiderski is somebody that can get into the box and plays in the middle and is standing on the penalty spot, Patrick moving out wide is not the worst idea in the world.
Dare I say it? Dare I say it? 4-4-2?
I mean, I think a 4-4-2 is something that could seriously happen within the game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if you're not going to start the lineup that way. Dean is going to continue to roll out with a 4-3-3. He will do that. But that 4-3-3 is going to, with Carroll and both Ajimong on the pitch, that can morph into six different kind of formations in one game. We've seen him do that in the past. Diani gives him the ability as well to kind of sit a midfielder super deep with a back five. Luke's back. He wants to get a word in.
Carroll could also play wing.
Carroll could play wing.
He didn't like doing that under Latty, but this could be different. Yeah.
He said he will do whatever it takes to help support the club.
Sure he does. Sure he will. Still Carroll we're talking about here.
Carroll loves one thing and one thing only. Carroll loves goals.
Carroll
loves scoring goals.
But the one thing about Carroll is he always says –
Carroll loves Carroll.
Tremendous friend of the show, Ash Hamrick, making a cameo here. I would say this, that Carroll does always say he wants to play the nine, but he also is not afraid to come all the way back to midfield to get the ball. He wants the ball at his feet more than anything, I feel like.
Correct. And that's what we saw earlier this year from Ricky Puig.
Yeah.
With LA Galaxy.
Right.
A player that can do everything.
Right.
Ricky Puig went into his defensive half to take the ball off of the center back's foot.
Yeah, off his own teammate. Yeah.
Give me that ball and just get out of the way. And I think Carroll has that mentality. And if he wants to play in that number 10/9 role with total freedom to go back into the center circle to receive the ball, that probably suits a selfish player a little bit.
Yeah, and then he can create give and goes and things like that, you know?
Right. The ball being on his foot is so important.
Listener question?
Listener question here.
What was the best goal last season, and was it the Bender to Carroll connection for that goal?
I did a countdown on this. I think I said the best goal last season was Kerwin's bicycle kick, but Carroll goals made it up there. I actually loved one of my favorite goal of the season was Carroll assist to Jalen Lindsay when Carroll did the ballet move on the end line and touched it up to himself
it's
and
a
then
great
popped
pull.
It over. Yeah.
Fantastic goal.
Yeah.
That's the type of skill set. Imagine, it's not going to be Jalen Lindsay on that back post.
No,
it's going to be Patrick Ajimong.
Yeah, or Vargas or Abada, you know, exactly, yeah.
Carroll is undoubtedly returning to a better team.
Yes, and a better coaching system. Like, one thing, I was telling someone this the other day, and I was like, I used to be in the camp of like, coaches don't really make that much of a difference. I've been disabused of that notion thanks to Dean Smith, because you look at a guy who has arguably a worse collection of players than Latanzio, but has been, had them performing better. Because we've had some infusion from the legacy, and Ajimong's playing more, but we lost all our DPs. You know, like, we're a team that was playing with one DP all season, basically. Copetti was hurt most of the time that he was here before he went back to Argentina. So you could, like, Dean getting better results with a same or maybe slightly worse roster has really showed me what coaching can do. And I think Karol Swiderski playing under Dean Smith is something all Charlotte FC fans can look forward to seeing.
It's really exciting to think about. And at this point, when I'm projecting out what the rest of the season looks like, it's really unfortunate that Karol can't play against Cincy on the road. I would have really liked to see that, especially with Patrick Ajimong on the sideline with a red card. So we can talk more about Karol heading into that awesome matchup next week.
Yeah.
But with Patrick Ajimong being out this weekend and Karol not being able to play, and Enzo Copetti down in Argentina, who the hell plays striker for this squad?
I think Karol is a lock to start against Austin when he's eligible. But for the Cincinnati and Columbus matches, remember, we got to do the Ohio double this next week, Saturday and Wednesday.
I forgot about that Wednesday game.
Both road games. I feel that the club gave us a signal today by sending Yuri Tavares to the media availability this morning. And Yuri is such a soft-spoken kid. He talks so quietly. Like, normally I record the thing with my iPhone and post a few clips of what people say. My iPhone could barely even pick up what Yuri was saying because he's so soft-spoken, and that's great. But I will shout him out for English is not his first language, and he handled questions in a scrum setting very well. You got to love that effort to, like, learn English and bloom where you're planted and know that. I would say I would tip Yuri Tavares to start as the starting striker because he was asked that. He was like, Yuri, you've played on the wing, you've played in the midfield, you've played a little striker for Legacy. Where do you feel most comfortable? He goes, I feel most comfortable everywhere. You know, I've done it all. I can do it all. And I think he's your guy. I would have thought maybe Arfield could start in a false nine situation. I wouldn't rule out Tiger Smalls, but I think it's Yuri Tavares to start. I think, remember, Tavares was very much in the mix. He was in the first 12 or 13 players and starting a few matches early this year.
Oh, yeah.
He kind of fell out of favor a little bit with Dean, and he's worked his way back into Dean's rotation.
Yeah.
I tip him to start against Cincinnati.
Do you remember when Dean cooked him in the post-game press conference for trying that slide tackle against New York City in extra time?
Yeah.
Yeah, Dean cooked him there, and I don't think he saw the field for like 3 weeks after that.
And he skied a penalty. he skied a penalty over the bar also, which was really unfortunate. In a game with it, we ended up winning, so that's okay. But
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100% it worked. And I'm excited to see potentially what Yuri can do in that situation. To me, it feels like a loss against Cincinnati. I'm just going to call it right now as I see it. I think that Charlotte FC has a tough time beating Cincinnati on the road.
They just beat Miami 6-1. Yeah, Cincinnati just beat Miami 6-1. And granted, there was a red card, but it wasn't an early red card. So
this is how I know I'm starting to enjoy MLS, is I want to watch Acosta. I want to see Lucho.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm looking forward to that on Saturday night. When you start to really integrate yourself into MLS and learn about the teams and some of the top players that might not have worldwide recognition but have Western Hemisphere recognition, you start to realize that these players are very, very high-level players.
Never forget that 4 years ago, Lucho Acosta had a deal to go to PSG, and it fell through in the last second. But he's a very he wouldn't have started there, but he was in their mix. He's a very talented player. Ended up going to Atlas in Liga MX and then coming back to play for Cincinnati. Single-handedly turned Cincinnati from a wooden spoon club to a supporter's shield club. And that's the kind of guy we need here in Charlotte, is that just talismanic number 10. But yeah, I love it, Johnny. That shows that you're like, Charlotte FC has brought you into the full MLS mix because you want to see great players play. And we certainly look forward to the test that Charlotte FC's defenders and the Westwood, Diani, Adielson, Privet, and the wingback, the fullbacks are going to face going up against Lucho, because we held them pretty well in check here in Charlotte, but he's operating on a whole new level now. And being in Cincinnati, it's going to be a very tough, like, a draw would be a very big result for Charlotte at Cincinnati.
These next three games, you could argue, based on what Charlotte FC looks like on the table right now, three of the most important games of the season, not necessarily to win, but not to lose. You right. can't lose all three.
Just pick up some points. I feel like we should expect to win at Austin. Austin is a decent team, but they flounder, and Austin gives up the easy goal from time to time. But Cincy and Columbus are top three in the East, and Cincy's a Supporters Shield contender. They just waxed Miami, like I said. Like, these are not easy matchups, and we knew going in. When we did the campaign, when we outlined the whole campaign at the start of the year, we said, though, you know, this was a tough, tough stretch of the season right before League's Cup, and it looks even tougher now.
It's Charlotte Soccer Show. He's Daniel Bramlin. I'm John Hayes. It's a shorty episode today. I hope you enjoyed it, because we've got another episode coming back. You're going to see another episode on our feed this week as well. A Carolina Ascent player. She signed, played for the Charlotte 49ers.
She's local.
Went up to UNC Chapel Hill after starring here locally for the 49ers. Also went to Charlotte Latin here locally.
Very local.
As well. But then, Danny.
We should call her the mayor.
You know what she did? She went to the other side of the world to play professional football. She's coming off 3 years of playing top-tier professional football in Australia.
Fantastic.
So I'm excited to talk to her about
that. Sam Kerr country, yeah.
Learn about her and this new team that I'm absolutely thrilled about.
I'm so excited. I'll be there at the opener for sure. I'll be attending a lot of games. I love Memorial Stadium. You know, I go to Independence games, but I love them. But I'm like more – I'm like really fired up. I want to, you know, like – celebrate the women's game and the growth of the women's game here in Charlotte. I feel like if they're going to have a huge following right off the jump, because there's so many people that are excited about it. So if they can win some games, they're going to build a really big following.
And the reason why the kit reveal is here tonight at Hotfly is because Hotfly is the exclusive craft beer partner of the Carolina Ascent. Of
Incredible.
The Charlotte Independence, and it's the only local craft beer that you're going to find at Memorial Stadium. So if you like the Hot Fly, I've got good news for you.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to get it at Memorial Stadium all summer and all fall.
You go to a Carolina Ascent game, you're drinking Hot Fly. I fucking love it. You know I've always been a huge fan of the beers here, and life is good. Life is good for soccer fans in Charlotte.
At the time of this recording, it's only 3:45 in the afternoon. It feels like it could be close to 3:45 in the morning,
right?
Based on what we're seeing.
Right.
So let's let the Uruguay fans send us out, Danny.